Last week, I brought a word about the goodness of God, and just thinking about Thanksgiving and all the things, all the good things God has done for us. And today I want to get back to the series that we're in the book of Hebrews. I was hoping to get a little bit farther. In Hebrews chapter 12 now, we've left chapter 11, and I'm pulling over into chapter 12, and I've titled this message, The Race of Faith. The Race of Faith. How many of you know that you're in a race? You're in a race. Come on. Sometimes you say, I'm tired. Yeah, that's because folk who run get tired. We're in a race. And so I've titled this The Race of Faith because we're looking at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the Holy Spirit speaking to us, in us, through us. Holy Spirit, I pray, oh Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that as your word is broken, as the bread of life is broken, Lord, that your people would feed. Lord, that your people would be strengthened and encouraged. Lord, lifted up, oh God. Lord, and that we would hear what you're saying to the church. Because when you speak, oh God, life is issued forth. Lord, when you open your mouth, oh God, light, oh God, floods our lives. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that the word of God would have free course today in every heart and every mind. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hebrews chapter 12, we've been in verse 1. We'll continue there. It reads, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And we talked a couple three weeks ago, about the weight that slows you down, but the sin that stops you in your progress, right? And that he said to throw away, lay aside the weight. How many of you know that if you're going to be a runner, you're not going to carry all the weight that you're carrying right now? I mean, do we got any runners in here? Do we have any runners? Used to be. Used to runner? Okay. You got any runners here? How many of you know that if you're going to run a race, if you're going to keep running, the weight is going to come off? So when the writer said, lay aside every weight, amen, he said, put off those weights, those outside weights, but added to that is you're going to lose some weight to begin with too. Interesting, as I began to look up some things about running a race today, I found it interesting because I used to run too, very slowly, but I used to run. And the writer says that we are to, he said, let us run with endurance. I like that. But he said, let us run. He didn't say you run. He said, let us run. Thank God that, the Lord runs with us. He's with us. Amen. You ever heard a runner at the last part of their leg, they say, oh, Lord. I mean, you're calling out to him. You're crying out, oh, Lord, help me, right? He runs with us, and that's no small thing, because as we get into this, we won't today, but we will later. He said, let us run the race, let us run with endurance. And then he pointed to the Lord, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Listen, Jesus has already run the race. He finished it. So he said, and so now the writer is telling us, let us now run. Remember the great cloud of witnesses? Abraham ran. He had the finish line. He's done. Come on, Noah, Enoch, Abel, they all ran. And then the Son of God, God himself stepped into our existence, and he ran for the joy set before him. I thought about the message about joy. When I read that, I said, there's Moses' message. For the joy set before him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's something set before Jesus that caused him to come into this life. Come into this life, live it as a human being, as the God-man, for the joy set before him that caused him to endure all that he did. And that was having you. Wow. So then if that's true, I think to myself, what are we running for? What are we running for? What's our reward? David said that the Lord is my portion. I'm getting off. Let me come back. That's a different message. But he says, let us run with endurance the race. Run with endurance. Now, everybody who, if you went to school here at any time in the United States for any amount of time, we had what was called here the presidential thing that they would have you would try and go out for. And they had there was a list of goals. There was a certain amount of sit-ups you were supposed to do, certain amount of pull-ups. And you had this little blue patch. I don't know if you remember those, the blue patch with yellow writing on it. But there was one thing that was called the 600-yard dash. Did anyone do the 600-yard dash for a Monday? My goodness, okay. Well, the 600-yard dash was about 1 1/4 times around the track, of the school track, quarter-mile track. And you were supposed to run that as fast as you could. Now, all my life, I've been on the heavy side, you understand? And so when we get at the line, and I mean, I started running these things probably when I was in fifth grade or sixth grade or something like that. And I'd get out there, and boy, I'd be huffing and puffing and doing my very best. And the people who won, I mean, the idea wasn't to cut to win. The idea was to do your personal best, whatever that was. Of course, this is America, and we're human. And when there's a race, everyone's at the same start line. You know, it's not about my personal best. Everyone wants to come in first. I mean, even though that's not the purpose of the race. And so, I remember, you know, growing, and you know, you go through puberty and so forth, and slim down, and muscles come out, and all this, and all that started happening. I got up into like the 11th grade, and every year, you know, all these guys would run past. And of course, I had to trade a sickle cell, which didn't help because it doesn't allow your red blood cells to process oxygen, which means you don't have as much oxygen in your body with which to propel to using your lungs to go. And so I had that as well. Well, the one year, I believe it was my 12th year, senior year, and man, we at the line, and they said, go. Man, I struck out, and I'm running. And like all the way around the track, I'm in first place, and I'm glowing, huh? Can you see it? I'm beaming. I think I got this, and I'm running, and all of a sudden, felt my wind go. Legs start getting tight, burning. Watch it, son. Burning and everything, and I started to slow down. I'll never forget. He's on my friends list right now. Tim Buckley. I'll never forget Tim Buckley from senior year high school. Tim came past me. I mean, it was like it was 20 feet. It was like from here to Melody, from the finish line. And I'm dying. I'm like, I am giving it everything I got. And Tim Buckley just comes by, and I was like, oh man. My last year, you think I could have won it, but it was never about winning. It was about doing your personal best. Well, beloved, the race that we're in, it's not, you're not racing up against anybody else. It's about doing your personal best for Him. He said, let us run. So we see, I looked up some things about long distance running because I wanted to know. Listen, anybody can sprint. Matter of fact, I thought when I was doing this, I remembered a year or two ago after church. Y'all remember this? We had a race out here, and if I remember right, one of the person's name was Carl, Emmanuel, and I understand Brenda is quite a runner. I forget who else was. Oh, Mommy was there running, and we went out here. We had a race, and that's all I'm gonna say. Amen. That's all I was saying. Oh, that's right. Joshua came too. That's right. Young man, we had age and youth. Amen. Going up against one another, and that's all I'm going to say. And but one of the things is about long distance running, because I'm trying to, you know, when you, it's not often that we think about life with the analogy of a race. I mean, it's mentioned many times in scripture. But when you wake up in the morning, you don't think to yourself, well, let me get out here on this run. It's time to get out here on this run. The scriptures talk about life as a fight, you know. But it's not often that we wake up every morning and say, let me go get in this battle. Let me put on my armor. Let me get ready for this fight, because we're about to get down with it. It's about to be on when I step outside. You know, we don't think that way. Yet the scriptures uses analogies to communicate to us. And so this one man who preps people for long-distance running, he says this. First of all, before when anyone comes to him and says they want to be trained in long-distance running, he asks them this. Before anything, he says, do you like to run? Do you like it? Because some people don't like to run. And then he went on and he mentioned the story that I just told. He talked about the 600-yard dash and how you were supposed to go as fast as you could for as long as you could, and that's most people's idea of running. He said, but running is not about that at all, especially with regard to long-distance running, especially. So I learned a few things, because one of the things he said, you know, was that you can enjoy running. And there are people who not only do 5Ks and 10Ks and, you know, half marathons, full marathons, but they have these people that do what's called ultra marathons. And so this one guy, he ran for 11 hours over mountains. There's a race, I forget in what nation I was looking at. It's called the horse versus man race. And when they first started it, you know, a gentleman, this pub owner said, he said, I believe man could outlast the horse, could outrun a horse. And they said, no way. And for years, the horse outran the man. But not too long after that, the man started outrunning the horse, because it was not a race of speed. It was a race of endurance. And the scripture says, let us run with endurance. And beloved, this race that we're in is a race of endurance. And this was a fascinating thing that I learned today. What the man said this, he said, of all the things that are on the earth, you want to know who was made for long distance running? Look in the mirror. He said, no animal. The wild dogs of Africa, they can run for miles. The hyena can run for a good long ways, a horse can run for a good long way. But he began to talk about how his body processed heat elimination and so forth, and breathing and all this. He says, no one can run as far, no animal can run as far, as long as a human. I thought to myself, wait a second. So this man who knows nothing about scripture, matter of fact, some things he was saying was anti, you know, but he's confirming that God made you and I. Beloved, let me tell you something. When I read that, I said, oh, wait a second. Let me get ready for a paradigm shift. Let me get ready for a life change. Because what he was saying is that I was built for the long haul. I was built to run a race and endure. And that's what the scripture is saying to you and I. Mommy is a speed skater. But even in speed skating, you need endurance, right? I mean, you can start out fast. That's fine. But it's not how you start always. It's where you end up in a race, right? And so it's very important. So one of the things that this man said, which you would think would be a no-brainer, which would really minister to me, he said, one of the things, if you're going to run a long distance, ready? run slower. Revelation. Run slower. I said, thank you, because I can do that. I can do that, yes. There was a Rosalind who used to go to the church here. She says, Pastor, I saw you out running one day. Whew. She said, you look like you were dying. I said, thank you, sister. Because I was. Because I was just sweating. It was the heat of the day, and I'm sweating and pouring, and I'm a slow runner because this body, but he said, run slower. And then he said something else. That ministered because, you know, when you come into Christ, how many of you know when you're young, you got a lot of energy? When you're young physically, you have a lot of energy. But when you're young in the Lord, you have a lot of energy too. And you just want to go. Remember the tortoise and the hare story? You know, I mean, you just want to blaze for Jesus. Let me go, God. I'm ready. And he said, mm-hmm. Yeah, you ready to tear some things up. That's what you ready. No, see? And so he said, run slower. Run slower. It was Paul. Remember, we see this in Scripture. When Paul got saved, the Bible says this in Acts chapter 9, and immediately he preached Christ. Immediately. And he bothered the Jews so much that the Jews wanted to kill him. And then Barnabas came and got him, and for 13 years, Paul went into Arabia. And you didn't hear anything from Paul for 13 years. Why? Because God was working in him. Come on, run slower, Paul. You got a long way to go, so you need to run slow, right? Run slower. Then another thing he said was, found this interesting. If you want to run a long way, take shorter strides. I thought to myself, what? Because I remember I was out there running, and I started taking these long strides because I thought to myself, the longer the stride, the farther I'll get. But when you run, all of the pressure of your body, your weight and everything, comes down, if you're running wrong, comes down on the heel, which is not made to take all of your weight. Is it, you know, that said something to me that running a race can be dangerous. You can get injured running a race. Just look at the Christian life. There are a lot of injured runners. There are a lot of people who been running and running and running, and they get injured. Sometimes it's our fault because we're not running right. There's a right way to run. There's a wrong way to run. And so he began to lay it out about how you're to run on the balls of your feet. And if you take short steps, you'll be on the balls of your feet and not the heel of your foot. And so on and on and on it goes. He said this, every time you run, every time you take a step, you put the pressure of your entire body weight on the muscles, tendons, and joints in your legs, knees, ankles, feet, and toes. So in other words, running affects your entire body, right? So, but how many of us, when we go do something, we want to take a giant step? You know, I want to hit it out the park. Yeah, I'm not here to do little things. I'm here to do great, massive things. And then we start. But the wisdom of running a long race is take short, measured steps. So he said, let us run. Let us run. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. We know the scripture well. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. Ah, yes. Amen. They shall run and not. Listen. Not only do we employ all of these things that this gentleman just said, but we have a comrade. We have a helper who helps us to run. The Lord comes and strengthens us in this journey that we're on. I'll never forget a prophet who's ministered in this church before. His wife has recently, I guess a few years ago, went on to be with the Lord. And Ernest Gentile was his name. And he had gone over into a foreign country to minister. And for some reason, the trip left him so weak. He said he could barely stand up. He got into his hotel room, and he said that as he was getting ready to sit down, a shaft of light broke through the ceiling, came and stood right in front of him, and he's standing there as weak as he could be, and this light is just standing there, and he said what began to come out of that light was energy, just physical energy, came out of that light and began to just fill his body. It was like electricity. But he said it was an angel of God that came and was ministering to him. And he stood there just barely able to stand. He said by the time when the angel left, he was all his everything was gone. All the weakness. He was a man up in his 60s or 70s at this time. All the weakness was gone. All the feelings of just not being able to stand, being so weak, being so overcome with travel. And so he said all of it was gone. And he said that shaft just flew back up through the ceiling and was gone. We have one who strengthens us in this race. Because we get tired in this race. But he said those who wait upon the Lord. I thought about, you know, when you're reading scripture, you think about this. I was thinking to myself, just in the natural, you know how, if I was lacing up my sneakers to go run, and the thought came to me, wait on the Lord, or wait for the Lord. He wants to run with you. But if I just say, oh, no, I'm just going to go. Wait on the Lord. He's with us in the journey. He's with us in the race. Amen? 2 Timothy 4 and 7, Paul said this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So in this passage of scripture, there are two analogies. Keeping the faith is likened unto a fight. Keeping the faith is likened unto a race, like the baton is the faith, and you're running with it. And you want to keep it. Not only did Paul keep it, but Paul told Timothy, take what I've taught you and pass it on to faithful men. See, that faith that I've given you, Timothy, you take it and you pass it on to faithful and godly men. He said the fight, the good fight of faith. He also told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and 12 to fight the good fight of faith. Remember, we've been talking about faith for now in this series for months because that's what the writer is talking about. But remember now what I've said earlier in a number of sermons that the subtitle of this is Endurance Required. The race of faith, endurance required. Because in my view, you cannot talk about faith without talking about endurance. You can't do it. Why? Because now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And Paul said in the book of Romans, he said, you don't hope for something that you see. You don't hope for something that you already have. So if faith is the substance of things hoped for, then it means you don't have it yet. You're believing God for it. You're waiting for it. He's talking to these Hebrew Christians about the salvation that is theirs through Christ, the full salvation that is there, even the redemption of the body. We don't have that yet, so by faith we wait for it. We hope for it, right? And so as we do that, we are to endure and believe in God for his promise, right? So he says, let us run, but let us run with endurance. The word endurance means to carry on through despite hardships. Anybody ever have any hardships in their life? Hey. What is it? Job chapter 13 or 14 verse 1, I can't remember, where Job said, "Man who is born of woman is few of days and full of troubles." Few of days and full of troubles. So if you live in this life, endurance is required. There's no way you're going to get through. Why? Because man who is born of woman is few of days and full of troubles. So the word endurance means to carry on through or despite hardships, to undergo, to bear with tolerance, to continue in existence, to suffer patiently without yielding. To suffer patiently without yielding. The Greek is hupomone, means cheerful or hopeful endurance. Cheerful or hopeful endurance. Then again, back to Moses' message about Paul writing to a church to be joyful while he's in prison, locked up. And he's telling the Philippian church to rejoice. Glory, because rejoicing is a fruit of the Spirit, and it is not something that's contingent upon your surroundings or your circumstances. Joy is that comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so, we need endurance. The writer said it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. He said this, "For you have need of endurance." You have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In other words, the Hebrew Christians, they believed the promise of God, but they needed something more. Why? Because it's not enough to believe. It's not enough simply to believe. You know, James said the devils believe and tremble. But it's not enough simply to believe. Why? Because your belief is going to cause certain things to happen to you. When you and I believe in God, when you and I believe God's promise, that automatically sets into motion some things. So it's not enough to believe. One must continue to believe and hold on to his faith throughout the course of his or her life. Remember in Mark chapter 4 and verse 17, Jesus talked about the sower. And he said the sower sows the word. And there are those who have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Only for a time. Jesus has not called us to endure only for a time, but for the duration of the race. For the duration of the race. You know, Carlton Pearson, you know the story. If you know about Carlton Pearson, and you know about his grandparents, that he said at the end of their lives, they stepped out of the church, went clubbing. These are grandparents now. These are old folks. Went clubbing and drinking and back into the world. And that's what messed him up. He said he didn't understand that. But, you know, when you think about what he said, it was almost as if his grandparents somehow, they gave up trusting Jesus to go back into the world. And what a tragic thing that would be to live in that manner after having walked with the Lord so much. The scripture says, Jesus said, they only endure for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So it was nothing wrong with the word that was sown in their hearts, but it was the hearer's inability to keep believing what was heard to his benefit. So the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and 12, "And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure." being persecuted, we endure.
Let me ask you a question. Why endure anything?
Why endure?
Thank you.
Because there's a reward.
You know, if you're going to endure hardship, there has to be a reason why you're enduring. Right? And the reason is the promise of God. The reason is the reward that God has promised. You endure something negative because you're convinced that the reward is greater than what you have to endure to obtain it. Right? So when he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, there is something at the end of this race for which I am enduring all of the hardship. There is something at the end of this that is of great value to me. And that has to be the case. Otherwise, we'll abandon the race. We'll give up. You know, it was Winston Churchill who said, never, ever, 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 ever give up. He was called to speak to a group of young people. When it came his turn to speak, he stood up. And they were ready for this long speech that he was going to give. And that's what he said. He said, never, ever, 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 ever give up. Never give up, never give up, never give up. And he sat down. That was his entire speech. But he said, never give up. And that is what the writer of Hebrews is saying to us. We need endurance to run our race. Now, the race does have an end point. The race does have an end point. This one person said that Winston Churchill said to be successful in life and business, this is what he told them. The pessimist sees the problems in every opportunity, whereas the optimist sees the opportunity in every problem. What a way to look at life. And so he went on and said, never give in, never give in, never, 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 in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give up, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. So I must have something that is greater than the hardships of this life if I'm going to endure in this race. And you know, I mean, Paul said it. He said that the glory which was going to be revealed in us is not worthy to be compared to the light afflictions. And he called what Paul was going through, he called light affliction. He said that's not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Oh, church, Father, help us. Father, help us. He has something in store for us that is so much greater than anything that we could ever endure down here. Anything. And some people say, why does God allow suffering? There was a recent, Robert Zacharias was there and different at John Hopkins, right here, John Hopkins. They had a conference on why does God allow suffering? And the speakers were, I wasn't there, just over Twitter I get these. And so speakers were saying some great things. One of the things which I didn't hear said, but which crossed my mind, was when they say, why does God allow suffering? And what crossed my mind was just so, it was like, listen, if the suffering isn't worthy to be compared, what if when we get to glory, we look back and consider what we went through? And at that point, we don't even call it suffering. See, this will be, because we have a perspective. We only have our perspective, right? But God allows us, but you don't know what people are going through, tragic, terrible things. No, I know that. And people say, why does God allow suffering? But is it really suffering to the extent to which if when we get to glory, that what God has prepared for us so far surpasses, it so far surpasses anything that we could ever imagine, that then we turn around like the disciples said in the book of Acts, we counted it a privilege to suffer for his name. We were beaten for the name of Jesus. Yay! Hallelujah! Glory to God. We would call that crazy. We say, you out of your mind. No one wants to be beat. No one wants to be beat. But for the glory of who he is, what he has prepared for us, I'll go through anything. Anything. What if when we got to glory, it was such? It was such. When people running around now today trying to figure out, how can I suffer less? No. Stand up for Jesus. No. They may not like me. No, they may talk about me. Come on now. Listen at what David said about his enduring. He said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen at what he's saying. I would have given up. I would have thrown in the towel. I would have said, I'm finished. I'm done. I'm through with this unless I had believed that there's something better. See? And that's what David said. He said, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But how many of you know for us, end days, last days, saints, it's not just the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's the goodness of the Lord in the great beyond, in the next life. Come on. Sometimes I feel like the Lord allows you to step just the tip of your toe, get a little wet in the other side. My God, sometimes I feel like I can taste just a little bit of it. Like, whoa, God, come what may, bring it. I'm ready, man, because what he has, I know the scripture says, I have not seen nor ear heard. Every now and again, it just feels like you just get a little glimpse of it, and it makes this life pale. Oh, my God. It just makes it just pale in comparison. So David said, I would have lost heart. He said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he'll strengthen you. James goes a bit farther. Listen, he says this. James 5:11, he says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. We count them blessed who endure. Wow. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. You want to see a picture of endurance? God put it there for us. The last time you read the book of Job. Is there a reason why you reading Job yesterday? You listen. God put a picture of endurance for us. James refers to it. He said, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end. Can I ask you something? Have you seen the end of your race? James says, but in Job, you've already seen the end of the Lord. How many of you say, I wish I could get a peek to see what is my end? What is the end? James said this about Job. He said, You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. Then he says this, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So in Job's life, he lost all his children. God restored all his children. He lost his health. God restored his health. He lost his ability to make income. God gave him a double portion. Gave him the most beautiful daughters in the land. I'm sure he did something with his wife too. She, her faith probably got restored. Amen. But what is the reward for enduring hardship, as Job did? Well, with Job, it was the blessing of the Lord. I mean, James says, we count them blessed who endure. Now, while you enduring, while I'm enduring, James says we're blessed. It was Jim and Tammy Baker who used to jump around singing, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I am blessed. You remember that? Maybe not. So it was the blessing of God It was the blessing of God, but for you and I and for the hearers that James was speaking to, you know what the end of the Lord was? It was the coming of the Lord. James, in James 5:11, he was talking about the coming of the Lord. The Lord was the reward. Here's what he says in verses 7 through 8. He says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Then he says this. So as you see how the farmer does that, he says, you also be patient. You also be patient. So watch the analogy. He says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. In other words, the farmer puts seed in the ground, and then he waits. Listen, it says he waits for the fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. So the farmer does something, then he waits on God to do something. And what God does is sends the early and the latter rain so that the earth can bring forth fruit. So our part is we receive what is the seed? The scripture says that the Son of Man sows the seed. What is the seed? The Word of God. The Word of God is sown into our hearts, and we are to hold on to that. And God causes the rain of the Holy Spirit. He causes the early and the latter rain to water that word that he's sown in our heart. We are to hold on to that. That's why Paul said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. He said, I'm still believing God. What God gave me years ago in the ministry, he says, I still have it. I've kept the faith. And what God has given you and I, he wants us to have it at the end. That's why we're to run the race with endurance. We're to hold on to that which he has given to us. Moses did the same thing in Hebrews 11:27. It says, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. How can we endure? See him who is invisible. Moses didn't fear the king he could see because he was in fear of the king who was invisible, the king that no one else could see. That's the one that he was in fear of. That's how Moses endured. Then he says, still in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, where he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The race. Just a few words. Got to thinking about the race, or the course, if you will. You know that video games, if you go into an arcade, they got these games with motorcycles and cars. And when you put your quarter in, you know what it lets you do? Yeah. You pick the course. You just hit the button and it goes, it has a beginner. It's got like a middle and an advanced, and you can click through. One of them's just an oval. That's a beginner course, you know, just oval. And then they got courses with hairpin turns and all these type things. And you can go through and pick the course. But this scripture says we have to run the race that is set. Listen, you can't change the course. The race that is in front of you is set. And we are in it, and we got to run it. We have to go on in the race. Now, here's another thought, because, you know, right now, all of our races kind of merge because we're in this place together. But people's races take them all everywhere. I mean, some people, I mean, they're here today, they're somewhere else some other time in their life. Why? Because we all have a different course. We all have a different race. Listen at what Acts chapter 13, I forget who was speaking here, but this is what it reads. Acts 13:25 says, and as John, speaking of John the Baptist, and as John was finishing his course, I thought to myself, wow, As John was finishing his course, he said, "Who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose." And so John had a course. He had a race. There was a beginning point, and there was an ending. The writer of Luke just said in the book of Acts that John was finishing his course. That means that the race you and I own has a beginning, and it has an end point. And John was destined to end up where he ended up. Listen, you cannot change the course. Listen, midstream, you cannot change the course. The race is set. It's set. Now, the course of our lives is to glorify God. That's the result. That's one of the main things that is to happen from the race that we're on. You remember what John the Apostle said about Peter in the last chapter of the book of John? When John was walking with Jesus, and Peter said, "Lord, what about this man?" And prior to that, Jesus had told Peter, he said, "When you were young, you went where you wanted to go." He said, "But when thou art old, they're going to bind your hands and feet, and they're going to take you where you don't or would not want to go." Then the scripture says this: "This Jesus said to him, signifying but by what means he would glorify God." Now, what happened to Peter? We know what happened to Peter. He was crucified upside down. But the scripture says, "But Jesus said what he said to show him by what means he would glorify God." You mean Peter died. He was martyred. Yes. And in so doing, he glorified God. But that was part of his course. That was part of his race. Somebody said, "Well, I don't want to die." Listen, don't focus so much on the race, just focus on glorifying God. That's what Stephen did. Remember Stephen? I thought to myself, if I was Stephen, I'd be trying to duck rocks. Come on now. You know that flesh loves itself. I want to survive. Stephen wasn't concerned with himself. Remember the rest of our verse 2 of this says that we're to run with endurance the race that is set before us. Listen, looking unto Jesus. Stephen, Acts chapter 7, is a perfect example. Because Stephen, while he was finishing his course, the Bible says he gazed up into heaven because heaven was open, and he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the power on high. He was looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. And while Stephen was finishing his course, my God, the author and the finisher of his faith, he's staring him right in the face. My God, help us. Lord, help us that when it comes, listen, when it comes my time, when it comes my time to finish this race, man, I want to go the way Stephen went. He's standing there looking at Jesus, declaring, he says, "I see heaven open and Jesus standing at the right hand." Because everyone's course comes to an end. And so we are to trust him throughout the duration of our course, which we are privileged to run. Notice the word privileged to run. Paul said in Acts 20:24, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy." He said, "This is how I want to finish it. Full of the joy of the Lord. Not counting my life dear to myself." And then lastly, I already mentioned that you and I have different races, different courses set. Paul's course differed from John's, differed from Timothy's.
But in 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul said this, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but all who love his appearing, who have loved his appearing." So for all those who have endured, Paul knew that his day was coming. He knew that he would die a martyr. And he said, "I've fought the fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not for me only, but for all those who endure." So I want to encourage you today. Let's run this race. Let's run it with endurance. Every now and again, you know, in football, a teammate will grab his other teammate and kind of push him, help him. Sometimes we need a little push. Sometimes we need a little help. Let's run this race together. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you that you've put us on a course. You've set us in a race. And that the end of this race, you are standing there. You are our prize. You are our reward. My God, fill our vision, my God. Fill our hearts, my Lord. Fill our perspective. Lord, let us see Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Lord, fill our vision. May our minds be full of Jesus, full of the person of Christ. Lord, that we would endure whatever we'd have to obtain the prize of knowing you. Paul prayed that I press toward the mark for the high call, for the prize of the high call that is in Jesus. Oh, this one thing I do. Lord, help us to be single-minded. Help us to be single-eyed, single-focused. Help us, oh God, that Jesus would be our all in all. Nothing, no image, no idol, nothing taking his place, nothing crowding that which is reserved for you. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would endure. We would grow in grace and in knowledge. And Father, that our lives would bring such glory to you. Not our will, but thy will be done, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.